Thank you, Father, once again for giving us an opportunity to come and look at your holy word. You've left your word for us, dear God, to be encouraged by it, to be instructed through it, and to receive strength, chastisement, whatever it is, because your word is sufficient. Help us not to forget. Help us not to neglect. Help us not to just deny ourselves of this wonderful nourishment that you have left for us, for it opens up our eyes and gives the soul and the spirit strength that we need for going on through days and through nights, dear Lord. We thank you, dear God, because you help us to see the state in which this world is in, but that you give us hope and peace through Jesus Christ, to understand that we can walk forward on in your word, trusting and believing and realizing that you keep your word. You keep those who keep your word. Help us tonight, Heavenly Father, to explain your word. Bless our coming together. We ask that we not come to listen on the phone or to have discussion just for the sake of a mental exercise, or for the sake of being able to contribute in some nice forum, but, dear Lord, that we actually will grow, that we will be strengthened, that we will be blessed by your holy and righteous word, dear God. Help us to be strong in our homes, in our families, on the jobs, wherever, that we will not have minds that will so easily forget the things that we come to as it pertains to life, as it pertains to your holy truth. I ask that you help me to be clear. I ask that you strengthen those who may listen, whether it be tonight or whether it be those who might listen on a podcast. Help our brothers and our sisters who are in countries, dear Lord, where there is open oppression through the government or whatever, things that we per se may not see or experience here in America. I ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. As I've said, we're coming from the 29th division of the Psalms tonight. And looking at this psalm is a very serious one. And hopefully I can bring some things to our minds as we continue to look at various things that David had penned. This psalm is, I'm titling it, Don't Ignore God's Voice, or Don't Ignore the Voice of God. There are times, it seems, where David is really lamenting his state, and he's talking about those who are oppressing him, and this psalm is a little different. In this psalm, David is speaking to the majesty of God. He's speaking about the strength of God, and we're going to try to make some connection to that with different or contrasted later on as we get toward the end of this, how this is a little different. Again, I give this title, Don't Ignore God's Voice. And I want to add a little addendum to that because he is terrible. God is terrible. He is to be feared. He is dreadful. And he is awesome. There are many times that the Bible will speak or give us to understand that God will use nature to show forth his judgment and to show forth his power. And we're going to see a little bit of this tonight. But having said that, there are times when the scripture also will speak of nature. We might read something where it says, give ear, O earth, or Jesus, or God, rather, might speak to nature through his holy word for the reader to understand that the nature can understand and respond. And when I say understand, let's look at it as respond. I'm not saying nature has ears to God. And I titled this, Don't Ignore God's Voice, because we also must acknowledge God with the way we live and the way we respond. This first verse starts out as follows from the 29th division. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. The second verse, give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, in looking at this psalm, I read various commentaries, and the commentary that I lean toward that I like was one that it seems that because we've understood that David has spoken of men who have been against him, who search ways to destroy his authority or to take his life, it seems that he possibly could be speaking to those persons who feel so mighty that he's telling them, you need to lay this hardness down. This give unto the Lord. Render unto the Lord, O ye mighty. This mighty here, and looking it up, there's several translations that could be understood. It could be sons of the mighty, sons of God, or ye mighty men, or lofty ones, or princes of the earth. I happen to believe that David is speaking of arrogance that was existing in the land, and for those persons who were trying to thwart his position, what God has established, and he's saying to these people, if this translation is correct, and I say that because we understand that many of the psalms that were written, David would have, they would be sung later on in the congregation. It would apply to anyone. I want to say that, whether one is still observing God's commandments or one who's rejecting it. I believe that this was something that was meant for those who rejected God's will, who felt so strong in their own power, their wealth, their riches, or their own thoughts, if you will. David is saying, recognize and give honor and be humble before the God of creation. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. This word glory, it encompasses so much, I believe that the human language will fail to give us all that it means. But I will try to give just a little bit. Majesty. God is majestic because he is righteous, he is holy, and he is worthy of honor. There is a weight behind the idea, the name, and the presence of God, and we should fall prostrate when we think about his holy righteousness and power. He is due a certain amount of all respect and honor. There is majesty behind the name and honesty. We are to esteem him. We here in America really don't understand what it is to have a king. But in other nations that have kings, they understand just a little bit what it is to give glory and honor and to be subservient. David is saying, render unto the Lord that which is due him because of who he is. I mentioned that the title is Do Not Ignore God's Voice. Now, this strength here, we can't give God strength because he has all power, I want to say, in his hands. Even though we say God doesn't have hands, he has all power. He controls all things. But because he gives unto us a little bit of strength, a little bit of knowledge, we must even render that to him because he is sovereign. Give it to him, for he is doing. Lord, have mercy. The next verse, give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. David reiterates the same thing. Attention, heaven and earth. Attention, you men who were created by the very God of heaven and earth. Give him his glory. Give him his honor. Humble yourself down. Lord, have mercy. Bow down and be prostrate before God. If we were to be in the presence of God, do we in our knowledge, sometimes when we think we do things of our own self, do we think that we could stand in his holy and righteous glory? I'm talking about the one who allows the moon to shine. I'm talking about the one who gives us the breath that we borrow from day to day. I'm talking about the one who lets our very heart palpitate minute after minute, second after second. I'm talking about the one who knows the number of the hair of our head and who has placed the stars in the order and the constellation of all the galaxies that exist. I say there is not a word that I believe that exists in any human language that can speak or exhaust the majesty of God. David says, you arrogant men who are stuck in your own knowledge that fades. Recognize and don't ignore the voice of God. Now, I spoke a little bit about nature here. And so as we go into this third voice, David likens some of the things that happen in nature whereby God shows his strength. He's going to liken it to the voice of the God of heaven and earth. Before we read this third verse, I'd like us to remember something. We have gone through Exodus. And so I call us to remember of a time when God called Moses up into the mountain. And he told them, said, I want you to tell the people not to come too close to the mountain. And when Moses went up into the mountain, that mountain was quaking. There was a lightning and there was thunder and the mountain shook. And the people's heart grew faint because of the power of God. I believe the sky had grown dark and they could see the smoke going up and the lightning flashing because God is a powerful God. They could see that God was manifesting himself through nature. David, when he has this written here, he's wanting us to understand, as man could understand, God is powerful. But as I go through this, we can understand it. But David knew something. There are times, even in all this understanding of who God is, man won't listen to him. Let's listen at what the third verse is. It says, the voice of Yahweh is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. David has said, I think I skipped a little bit of something. If you will bear with me, I start looking at this, and I get a little excited about this. So I'm going to go back just a little bit to the second verse, and then we'll come back to the third verse. The end of the second verse, it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, one of the commentaries that I was looking at where it talks about this worship, it was bowed prostrate, so I mentioned that. But one of the commentaries, it kind of mentioned that the priest, when they would officiate, you know, were on behalf of God for the people, that they had to wear a specific type of garment, a certain type of clothes, because that's the way God ordained it. We've gone through that. You can listen to that a little bit on the podcast. I think it's Exodus, maybe it's around the, I can't remember, the 23rd chapter or something. You can look at it and find it. But it also gives us to understand that we are to be humble and obedient to God. If the title is, and this is what I titled it, Don't Ignore the Voice of God, the Hebrews understood something often, even in synagogues, they will call it Shema. It was like to hear, O Israel, or hear ye Hebrews, God, and obey. When God's voice goes out, it's not to go out just to say, okay, I heard something. It's to get man's attention and to understand that there is an instruction that is behind the voice of God. Even when Moses, I'm coming back to where we are, went up in the mountain, God gave Moses instruction. And I don't believe the quaking of the mountain was just something that was happening. It was to let them know that I am to be feared, Lord have mercy, in worshiping God, saints. I make an application for us today. We are to hear him and to respond through obedience. It is a lifestyle that we understand that God speaks to his own, and he will speak to all of creation. Lord have mercy. Let's go on through this. He wants us to worship him in our obedience. Lord have mercy. Yes, he wants us to wear his righteousness in the beauty, the sacredness, the majesty of being set apart in his holy presence. Lord have mercy. He not only wanted them to be holy when they were in the temple or in the courtyard, he wanted them to be a holy people. He was to tell them, I want you to be holy because I am holy. Now let's get back to this third verse. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. This voice of God, David, is liking it, I say again, as to the happenings, if you will, that are often seen and felt through nature. This was a loud noise, a thundering, if you will, that would catch the attention of any man, woman, child, boy, or girl. It's upon many waters. This speaks of a storm. A storm in which God would manifest himself terribly or greatly. His glory is magnificent, and it has a weight in which it would call forth the honor of all of his creation. Now, there are many who would explain in today's time through science the happenings or the phenomena that happens in a storm. If you watch some television shows, you might even see some people who will call storm chasers, and they will go and follow. But let the storm turn around and see once their hearts grow faint. When God thunders, I believe I was reading, and it said something about the lightning, when it goes through, it heats up the atmosphere around it over 1,000 times what it is, and because it heats up the atmosphere, it causes the air to be compressed so that it roars and it shakes and vibrates the clouds and the swellings around it. Even if you've been in a house, you've seen or felt probably that God's very thunder can shake even the very foundation, which we would like to think is secure. David is speaking, I believe, to let people know that God is powerful and that there is nothing that we can do to stop it. Listen, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The glory of God thundereth. It roars. The Lord is upon many waters. Who is it that can sit upon many waters? The waters that are vast, the waters that are deep, the waters that are wide. Lord have mercy. God is everywhere and at all times, and he sitteth upon it. We'll talk about it as we go through another verse. Let's come on down a little bit. He continues to speak of the voice of the Lord, the voice of Yahweh. Do not ignore the voice of Yahweh. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It is firm. It is mighty. It is dreadful. He will speak as we go through this about how the voice of the Lord thunders through the wilderness. It thunders through the forest, if you will. God has left his word for us today. And in his word, we get to see the voice. We get to hear the voice of the Lord and not be left wondering what is it that he requires of us. I said at the beginning, David is speaking to a people. He talks about the mighty men, the princes of earth, who were often lifted up in their haughtiness and would not hear the voice of God. But David says God is mighty, he is strong, and he should be heard. Lord have mercy, he will be heard. His voice is mighty and dreadful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. When we say that word majesty, we should think of his reign, his kingdom, the fact that he controls all things. Who is it that can sit on the vast waters of this creation? I'm reminded that when I open up the scriptures, if I were to look in the beginning of Genesis, it talks about how the Lord said some things. He said, let there be. Let there be. He said, well, Gary, this is not exactly the same thing. Well, I think we can make an application. Let there be. It even says of Jesus that he upholds all things by the word, the powerful word of his power. Lord, have mercy. We look at this and we see that when God speaks, he expects, again, a response. He expects obedience. How is the voice of the Lord resonating in your and my life? When we go through the scriptures, Lord have mercy, when we hear the word of God and it sometimes cuts down to the joint and the marrow, deep down in our spirits for the things that we would like to do, sometimes getting outside of the will of God. Do we realize the seriousness? David likens nature to being subservient and obedient to God. Is this making sense? I want to try and bring out some of the essence of it. I might not be doing a wonderful job, But if God is speaking to anybody tonight, don't hear me. Go back and read it and hear. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It is full of his majesty. He is king. Lord have mercy. He's got a verdict. He's got a sentence. He's got a judgment. And he's got provision. Lord have mercy. Listen at this fifth verse. He goes on and he's talking about the voice of the Lord. Can we see that the voice of the Lord, which gives instruction, means that we ought to take heed, we ought to stop and give pause to it. If it thunders out, I ought to give pause to it. The voice of the Lord is not necessarily always thunderous, though when we look at this passage, even if it comes quiet, it's got a thunder behind it, because in disobeying, there's a penalty. There is a judgment. Lord have mercy. Let's go on. The fifth verse says, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. This breaketh, crushes, it wrecks, it breaks into pieces the vast and lofty cedars of Lebanon. Now, I didn't go read up on the trees of Lebanon like I had done at another time, but I knew that they grew to be extremely tall. I can't give you the height. And they grew to be extremely wide, and I want to go by memory, but I'm not going to tell you. You can Google cedars of Lebanon if you want to and get a dimension, if you will, or the measurement. David is likening. He wants to write to people who would understand these various places. Knowing that these cedars were great, they were used in building various structures, royal places and edifices, if you will, that were great. They wanted those precious, those sought-after cedars that were strong, that were high, that were mighty. David says they're nothing. When God rains forth his power, when he lets his voice go through, we can think about even how tornadoes today can snap a tree or send something through the depths or the vastness of a huge tree. David says the voice of the Lord, it crushes them. Listen at this. The Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Sixth verse, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syria, and like a young unicorn. What is David saying here? He's speaking poetically. This is when God's voice goes up, the nature responds. All of creation will respond to God. Listen, the word skip here is similar to one of the words that is used. It's like dance. It's like it's almost like it will prance. It will take heed to the voice of God. He maketh and he causes these strong trees. We talked about roots one time. These huge trees would have roots that would go deep into the heart of the earth, spread wide, go I don't know how many feet out, but it causes them 8 feet to skip. How do we respond to the voice of God when he tells us not to do something, when he tells us to do something? If the translation that I lean toward is correct, and David is talking to these lofty men, David's like, I have been established, but all that reject God, when his voice goes out in his judgment, you will be defeated. He's going to crack you with his judgment. He's going to come down upon you hard. God is not only a loving God, it's in his loving kindness that he gives us time to repent. Let's get back to the text. These trees that are so strong, it just cannot be pushed over by man or just a casual breeze. There's nothing for God to snap them and crush them. The seventh verse, the voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. What is this? He continues to say the voice of the Lord. And it's really interesting because we don't really see words coming forth from this. So we need to deduce some things, and I'm trying to help us with that deduction. Again, I may not be doing the best with the voice of the Lord. In the Hebrew scriptures, when something is repeated over and over and over, it's like this is extremely important. Not to minimize it, something's not repeated. It is important. It is God's word. But David is saying something here. Here is a king who understood something, that when he gave an edict, there was to be obedience. He's speaking about the voice of God. Lord have mercy. The voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. It's like it carves through, it cuts, it splits it. And so as I was reading, I was began to read about how when the lightning would come through, and I've talked a little bit about the lightning heating up the atmosphere, sometimes it would fork off into various, let's say, rays, if you will. It's like it divided the flames of fire. Can't tell you how hot the lightning is, but when God causes it to come forth, it's more than magnificent. It's awesome. It's dreadful. Listen, the eighth verse, he's still talking about the voice of the Lord. Do you remember what our topic is? Do not ignore the voice of the Lord. Addendum, because he is terrible. Well, say, well, God speaks to me. I hope he does. But do we hear? Do we understand it's not always soft? Listen, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. We begin to see a little bit more of this terribleness here. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. He mentions another place that's well known to the recipients or those who would hear or read this particular text. He's saying God's power, his majesty, it's like it will twist the wilderness in a terrible fashion. It will whirl it around or even cause it to dash. Again, I say we see here that it seems that nature is responding, but God has given man an intellect. And with that intellect, he is expecting us to be responsible. With that intellect that he has given to us, he is expecting us to realize and to see that he is God and that he is the one who has created us. He is expecting us to be obedient because the invisible things of creation declare his wonderful power. But so many times, because of a hard heart, or because of lust inside of our flesh, when we want to do something, we will stop up our ears. God has even given man such intelligence, they call it science, whereby they explain the phenomena in part. And they will say that this is not God. Lord, have mercy. Let's not be stubborn. Let's not be lifted up in our own pride. God wants to shake the heart of man that we will believe in. David is painting a picture here. The wilderness, who can shake it? But if God sends a tornado through, it just decimates and flattens everything. God in his mercy gives us time to hear his voice. The voice of the Lord shaketh, twisteth, twirleth the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Say again, this was a place where these recipients would be accustomed or know the whereabouts of this place. Let's go on to the ninth verse here. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discover the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Going on with the picture of paint of nature here, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Now, this would read funny if you're looking at the King James Version and it might not make any sense. Well, try to clarify this here. It's talking about the deer here, and it will cause them, those deer who are carrying baby deer, or I guess you call them foes, or doe, it will cause them in their consternation of because of the loud thundering to even give birth prematurely. One of the things that I was reading, it was saying that the deer would have a hard time in giving labor. That sometimes the labor was so hard that it, in giving birth to a doe, that they would often even bruise it. And saying, but that because of the voice of the Lord, or the thundering of the storm being so great in a forest or a wooded area, if you will, the wilderness, it would be so great that it would cause a fear in them. People often say we should not fear God, but there is a fear that should be in the heart of Christian. Now, we want to be on the right side of that. It does bring forth a reverence of God for who he is, but just be on the wrong side of that, and there is his judgment. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Why is it that it seems that all of nature will obey God, but to those to whom he will give his intellect, we will be so stubborn and not listen? There is a direct contrast or comparison here. Is it making sense to us tonight? Listen, it says, and discovers the forest, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Now, I saw about three different translations of this, and I was like, oh, my goodness. One was that because of the deer might prematurely give birth, it didn't matter where it was, that it was going to discover the forest. Another one said something that because the winds are so great and the lightning, how it just flashes out, that the leaves of any tree could just be blown barren and so forth. I would say both can make sense when talking about the great power of God. Now, we go on and we look at this part, and it says, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Read various comments on this. One I didn't necessarily agree with. It said that this was speaking of the temple of God and the tabernacle of God, and that it seemed to be the only place where God could get his glory. Well, I know that the scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. So I don't think that that one is necessarily the best one. Yes. When the Hebrews would go to the tabernacle, that was where God's presence was, and he did require glory. But God requires glory of all of his creation. And we see through this context that it seems that nature would obey him. When God would call forth the clouds to become darkened, or when he would sit upon the floods of creation, they would respond as God would say. The doe giving forth, the mother giving birth prematurely, is speaking of God's power. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, God's glory is required wherever he happens to be. He inhabits heaven and earth. Now we understand, David says, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? But we understand that the heaven and earth is where he, how can I say, his presence is there. So when we look at this, let me see if I can, I've lost my place here. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Man, God is required. He wants his faithful to communicate his glory, to speak forth the praises of his magnificence. He wants man to be obedient to him, to hear and shema, to be obedient to his voice in his tabernacle, outside of his tabernacle. There is something that we should know about King David. King David understood something about the scriptures. And though he spoke of being in his tabernacle, David knew that because of the precepts of God, God required man's heart and his mind. We say, well, in the Old Testament, it didn't look like that. Yes, he required man's heart and his mind so that he would be obedient and see that he was their true king. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. He required his mind. The same thing for us today. Do we speak of God's glory? Sometimes we do too much talking, but our lives is not conforming to what the voice of the Lord is telling us through scriptures. He requires a change. He requires a repentant heart. He requires us to walk in his footsteps. Lord, have mercy. Are we ignoring the voice of God? He should be feared. He should be reverenced because there's a judgment that's going to come behind this voice of the Lord. Listen to what it says. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. I'm coming at the 10th verse. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Now, this seems to me, in my opinion, to even make allusion to the fact that God used the flood in judgment to judge his creation at a point in history. And these people that would hear this or read this, they, I believe, could be reminded of that. God, in essence, is in control of all of creation. He's in control over the elements of the world. He is in control. God sitteth upon the flood as a king. He presides. He's got all power in his hand, and he used that flood to judge mankind, his creation. We understand that he's not going to use a flood in this judgment that's going to befall his creation in the future. But God, David says, is king forever. He's got some commandments, and he expects them to be adhered to, and he expects us as his servants his vassals to hear him. He is king forever. We are not going to exist forever except that we be found in his son, Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy on us. God's dwelling place is in his word, and he wants to dwell in our hearts. Are we listening to his voice? I didn't count the number of times that he said the voice of the Lord, but the king, he's got edicts. He's got sentences, and he's got commandments that he wants us to hear. David says, you haughty men who want to exalt yourself over the will of God and who want to take my life. He said, Lord, he's got something for you. Though you might trust in your own wisdom, though you might trust in your own strength, it's the Lord that controls everything. It's nature that will adhere to him and obey his holy word. He sits on floods and he controls them. He's judged nature and mankind with it before. He is king. He's king over me, and he's king over all. And his judgments are forever. The 11th verse says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, Yahweh, he's saying, who controls nature? Like, if we're on the right side, or if we're listening and taking heed to his voice as his people, he's going to bless us. Whether it be through, we got trials. David had all kinds of trials. He had tribulations, and the people could understand this through the natural flood, but they were to understand it even through times of tribulation. He says, God, Yahweh, the one who controls all things, he will give strength to those who will obey him, who will take heed to his voice. He will provide, he will bless, and give a peace that no matter what we may have to go through, we will be victorious. Yes, there may be enemies, but God grants a time of peace so that it doesn't matter what nation may come against us. It doesn't matter who my enemies are. He will give peace. There are times, saints, when we today are at all times, we must remember this. We must remember that even our very hearts could be an enemy if we're not saturated and continuing to obey the word of God. This world will be an enemy to us and the word of God, but we must take heed to his word and not ignore his voice. The truest peace is that peace which God gives, and it comes through obeying him. We need not fear. We need not tremble. We don't have to be shaken. We don't have to give down if we're trusting in the voice of the Lord. Nature, as we look through this, has given heed and obeys God's voice. David is giving us to know that we should obey God's voice. Yes, it's Yahweh with his untold power and his untold strength will provide for us those who will obey him. We must be subservient and prostrate ourselves before him. The obedience is the truest form of worship. He doesn't just require sacrifice. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to hearken to his voice, and he will bless us because we're his own. Those who choose not to hearken to the voice of the Lord, there is a fear that they should have. There is a fear that we should have if we exercise our life continually outside of the will of God and ignore his voice. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to go through your scripture once again. We're asking, dear Lord, that you will help us to think upon your word. We're asking you, dear God, to give us the strength that we need to adhere to it. We realize that there's a blessing in following you, dear Lord, because you've told us what history was. You've told us how the president, and you've definitely told us what the future will be like, dear Lord. We're asking that you will give us strength. Help us not to have hearts that will be faint and that will give down, but that we will receive strength no matter what the voices are of those in this world, dear Lord. No matter what those voices that will cast doubt, dear Lord, help us to, dear Lord, hold on to your heavenly wisdom and advice so that we can be taken care of and be found in your presence now and in the time to come. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.